Today, the Feast of Corpus Christi. This is not only the last of the feasts that get added at the end of the Easter season just to avoid calling the quits to the party. This is a significant opportunity to meditate on what does it mean when we say the body of Christ. It's more than a town in Texas or a nuclear submarine over the naming of which there was some considerable controversy a few years back. It's an important reality in our lives as individuals and in our life as a church. It has at least three basic layers of meaning. There are shades and layers within layers and whatnot. But three fundamental things that we need to keep in mind. First of all, the body of Christ means just literally that, the body of Christ. You know, the one that Mary gave birth to, the one that walked the streets of Galilee, the one that hung on the cross. What makes that something to stop and think about is that is also the one that was raised from the dead and the one that was lifted up to the right hand of God. That makes it more than just a body. Or perhaps not. Perhaps it reveals an undisclosed, unthought about capacity within all our bodies. We can relate to the body of Jesus. Everybody, every one of us has got one, you know. But our body, our experience of our bodiliness anchors us firmly. I am a 21st century Baltimorean Catholic, so forth. I'm in this place, I'm in this time, I'm in these circumstances, because this is where my body is. Jesus' body was just exactly like that. But not anymore. It is now with God. In the fullness of his humanity, in the fullness, therefore, of his bodiliness, he is with God. That means the bodiliness is so that we experience is so completely anchored in space and time, is capable of being transformed to be with God, outside of space, outside of time. Something we cannot imagine, much less conceptualize, but something that our faith presents to us as a fundamental fact. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, not just his immortal soul, whatever that means, but if Jesus in his bodiliness is not raised from the dead, is not freed from the limitations of space and time, is not sharing in the life of God, then Paul says, our faith is in vain, our preaching is futile, and your believing is the biggest piece of nonsense going. The body of Christ, the simple physical body of Christ, in its transformation, is the fundamental reality of our faith. The second layer is based on that, and is asserted quite strongly in the gospel this morning. Remember that John does not give us an institution narrative in his Last Supper account. All the others do. He doesn't. He gives you the washing of the feet narrative. He doesn't give you the institution narrative. This is his teaching on the Eucharist. Part 2 of the Bread of Life discourse in John 6. This is where we're told about the body of Christ that is present on the table when we gather. The body of Christ that is really present, that is really eaten, that is really drunk. The real presence, as we call it, is another of those fundamental acts of our faith. Because it is our point of contact with that body of Christ that is now exalted beyond space and time. When we receive the body of Christ, what happens? It is true food, true drink, and it gives us life because of Him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. There's a tendency to go to one extreme or the other with this. A generation or two before us, I think they were close to one extreme, where you could actually hear in Catholic school that if you bit the host, it would bleed. That has never been the teaching of the church, by the way. It was taught in the church, but it was never the teaching of the church. Teaching of the church is quite the contrary. That the accidents, all the stuff that you can see and feel and taste and touch, are the same, untouched. I can testify to that from my own experience. The very first year that we had communion under both species for everybody, it was introduced at midnight mass Christmas. That was the beginning. So I thought surely everyone would receive. So the chalice that my parents gave me for my ordination was designed for that, even though at the time that was only a promise. It holds a liter with adequate freeboard. We filled it with a liter. People came up for communion. A third of them sipped. A third of them dipped. And a third of them skipped. When the chalice came back to the altar, it was three quarters full. I stood there, as is reverently necessary, and consumed it. And then I sat down. And while the choir sang the antiphon, I'm praying quietly, Lord, you know that I did this in order to preserve peace, good order, and decorum in the church. Let's keep it that way. Let me get to the other end of the aisle before I fall on my face. The properties of the bread and the wine, the physical properties, are not changed. But today, I think, we may be at an opposite swing of the pendulum from that. Rather than thinking that Jesus is so much there that if you bite it, it will bleed, we tend to think of it as some kind of mere symbol. Well, it is a symbol, but mere and symbol do not belong in the same sentence, even in the same paragraph. A mere sign, it is not. It doesn't just point to a reality. That's what a sign does. A symbol embodies a reality. It is customary at weddings for me to give the groom the kiss of peace in the usual way. If the groom gives the bride the kiss of peace in the usual way, he is a whole lot dumber than I think he is. That kiss gets worked into almost everybody's wedding ceremony in different traditions and different ways because it is a symbol. Sex is a natural symbol. It both embodies and expresses and causes the relationship, the love, the commitment between two people. It embodies the reality and therefore conveys it. It is present in the symbol. In that sense, not in the sign sense, look over there. The Eucharist is indeed a symbol. It embodies the reality, the body of Christ. My flesh is indeed true food. My blood, true drink. It's much too emphatic to be a mere sign. It is a dense, real, living symbol. This is the body of Christ. And that layer of meaning of the body of Christ is just as important for our faith as belief in the body of Christ that lives with God beyond space and time, because that's our contact. If Jesus is with God, that's nice. if because of Jesus I can be with God, now that's important to me. And it is because of the Eucharist, because that I share the body of Christ and become one with him and live because of him, eternal life because of him. I will raise him up on the last day because of him. That's the body of Christ that has meaning for me. And then there's the third layer of meaning that comes out of the first two and turns around and reciprocates the causality. And that's in that second reading where Paul talks about the body of Christ. And he believes, that, as John does, that it is Christ's body, that it is Christ's blood. But he takes it one step further. The bread that we drink, is it not our partaking in the body of Christ? The blood that we drink, is it not our sharing in the blood of Christ? Therefore, we who share the one body become one body. Just as the loaf is one, we, many though we are, become one body in Christ. And that's the third meaning of the body of Christ, that the church is the body of Christ. When I receive the body and blood of Christ, it's not just one-on-one multiplied many times, Jesus and me, Jesus and you, Jesus and him, Jesus and her, on down the line. We become one body in Christ. The Eucharist makes the church. We're not a church because we all sign membership papers. Although that's nice, you know, we need a membership roll. We're not a church because we all put money in the same basket. Although that's surely nice, especially with all that bleep bleep Freon. We're a church primarily because we share the one body of Christ, and we become the one body in Christ. When the Eucharist happens, the church happens. The Eucharist makes the church, and the church, of course, in turn makes the Eucharist. Until we gather, until we pray, until your amen to my prayer rings out and becomes the action of the Spirit in the whole church, it's just bread and wine. But by what we do, by what God does in us and through us, the body of Christ becomes present, and we in turn become the body of Christ. So when we fan out from here, the Mass has ended, go in peace, doesn't mean ba 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 ba, that's all, folks. It means go out from here and make this real. Go out from here and announce this good news. Go out from here and live this mystery. Go out from here and build this kingdom. As the church has gathered and made the Eucharist, may the Eucharist send us forth to gather the church. All three meanings are real. All three meanings are vital for who we are and how we live. The body of Christ that was born of Mary, that walked the streets, that is now beyond space and time with God. The body of Christ that lies on this altar when we together call down the Holy Spirit upon it. And the body of Christ that comes from sharing in the one bread and the one cup. We, the body of Christ. Every one of those layers is true. Everyone is important. And everyone, each one, implicates the other two. None of them could exist in a vacuum. None of them makes sense without the others. The exalted body of Christ, the Eucharistic body of Christ, the gathered body of Christ. This is the feast that we celebrate. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.